And there are three classic experiments. One which was done with plants about 60 years ago now. Some which were done with frogs and toads about 40 years ago. And finally, the ones which were done in mammals, which have given rise to the whole issue of human cloning, okay, which were done in the 1990s, only about 15, perhaps 20 years ago, nearly now. So let's just talk about these three sets of experiments very briefly. Okay, an American biologist called Steward first asked this question: can I grow a whole plant from a differentiated cell? And this is very easy with plants. Plants are much more, as we say in biology, plastic, that is changeable, able to be changed, than higher animal organisms. And we saw that just at the very beginning of this talk when I talked about grafting. Okay, you can't take a human leg, right, cut it off and attach it to another human, and can you? Right. Well, you can, but it doesn't work. Right. You can't do that grafting experiment. Okay. So well with humans, and one of the reasons is we have very complicated, much more complicated systems for recognising difference. But plants are much more plastic. Okay. We know that they can grow by vegetative, that is, grafting type methods, or by sexual methods. So with plants, it was actually a very easy experiment. Seward thought, what's the way I can make a plant cell think it's back in the embryo? Okay, and he thought, and his thought experiment said, okay, well, I need to find a big seed, right, which has something in it which identifies the embryo. And the seed he chose was the coconut. Okay, well, some of you may be familiar with coconut milk as an ingredient in food, but coconut milk's aim, of course, is to feed the embryonic coconut, right? And so what Steward did was to take this coconut milk, this embryo food, okay, and take cells from an ordinary common or garden carrot. Okay, this carrot, of course, has been pictured for school children, and so it has eyes and a mouth. Now, as you know, carrots don't have eyes and a mouth, so just exclude that. Right, this is the Steward experiment, and you can do it in school if you want. You take a carrot, okay, you bore out a bit of the carrot, or you can, if you want, and Steward did originally, mash the carrot up until it were just single cells floating around in a suspension. Okay, and then you place that on a dish with some coconut milk, all right? And the coconut milk regresses the cells, as it were. They think they're back in the embryo, and they start to do what an embryo does. First of all, they get very confused, right? And they start growing incoordinately, okay? And they make what we call, in plant terms, a callus. But after that, these little lumps of cells, which is all they are, work out what they're meant to be doing, right? And they start growing shoots and roots, okay? And then you can take these things out of the coconut milk and put them into soil, and they'll grow new plants, okay? So technically, you can take a single carrot cell from the root of a carrot, or from the leaves if you want, okay? And you can send it back, make it an embryo, and grow a new plant from it. And of course, commercially, that's a very powerful tool, and it's been used extensively in the agriculture of trees. Okay, so rubber plantations very often are full of trees which all derive from a single tree. Okay, and they've been made by this cloning experiment, so they're all genetically identical. And this, of course, makes for much more uniform rubber trees. But it does have one snag. If you have genetically identical trees or plants of any kind, once a disease comes along which is suited to those trees, it'll wipe them all out, right? Because one of the reasons for genetic diversity is to make sure that when a disease comes along, it doesn't wipe everybody out. But, of course, if we deliberately do away with that genetic diversity, we open ourselves to the danger of disease. So that's the carrot cloning experiment. A bit more difficult to do it with these things, right? This is the South African clawed toad. Okay? And all the females in the audience will be very pleased to know this big one is the female, right? Clawed toads have it the right way round. Right? Females are dominant. This is the insignificant looking little male.